You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. It's a big day in Houston on this Tuesday, September 5th, because as of 9:01 a.m., the news is official from the Rockets. Les Alexander has agreed to sell the team to Houston billionaire Tillman J. Fertitta. The Rockets did not officially disclose the price, but the news first broken earlier this morning by Mark Berman of Fox 26 is that it will be for $2.2 billion. That is an all-time record selling price for an NBA franchise, also probably part of the equation for why Les is getting out right now. But huge implications for your Rockets and huge implications all around the league. So it's definitely about as big a news as you can get. Now, the name is not totally shocking because Tillman, when the Rockets were put on the market in mid-July, did express interest. But to see it not just get done, but get done at this price this quickly, yeah, it's certainly a little shocking. And my first impressions are largely positive, and I'll explain why over the first few minutes of this podcast. Now, we'll talk a lot more about Fertitta in the coming days, assuming the NBA's Board of Governors approves the deal. I'm sure there will be a press conference. I'll try and get him on this show, and at that point, we'll have more direct Q&A. We'll see exactly what his philosophies are. So what I'm saying right now is just strictly first impressions based on my knowledge of Tillman from his prior ventures. Certainly Landry's Golden Nugget, folks know him there. But I think most relevant to the Rockets is his time at the University of Houston, where he's an alum. He's chairman of the Board of Regents, and he's been very heavily involved in the school's athletic program and their successes over the past decade. And so I think that's where I'm largely positive about him. But I'm going to start with a couple of bigger picture items, which are the Houston connections. And it didn't have to be from Houston. I'm on the record saying in the past that certainly it doesn't hurt, but I was never worried about it has to be someone from Houston in the way some fans were, because there was never a chance that the Rockets were going to be moved. Houston's about to become the third largest city in the United States. They've got a 30-year lease with Toyota Center, which is a pretty much a brand new arena still. Fabulous facilities. The management team in place, Daryl Morey, Tad Brown, they are among the best in the business for what they do. So it's not a matter of, well, you should have been nervous about are things going to radically change under a new owner. No, part of what makes the Rockets so appealing to buy is because they are in such great shape. Everything from the product on the floor, James Harden, Chris Paul, to the folks running the front office, Daryl Morey, the business side, Tad Brown. You rarely get a chance to run into an organization that is this ready-made to have success, and by virtue of having success, make a lot of money. So the fact that Tillman's from Houston, I mean, yeah, that's great. It's always nice when someone in the Houston community can own the team, but I don't think it necessarily had to be someone from Houston because of those other factors. Now, the one area of the Houston connection that I do think has a lot of value, if you look back in mid-July when the Rockets were first put up for sale, there were quotes from Fertitta about being nervous about following in the footsteps of Les Alexander because Les was so great. That is very encouraging, because when you have someone that knows very well how this organization has been run over the past 25 years, then I think that makes it very unlikely that there are going to be radical changes in terms of the strategic direction, things such as, you know, the luxury tax, commitment to winning, in a lot of areas across the board for this organization. I don't think that's going to change. So you bring in someone with a high degree of familiarity with Les. In fact, I think Tillman has had some kind of informal roles with the Rockets over the years. So you have someone that's very well known within the Rockets structure. He knows a lot of the key power brokers within the Rockets in terms of the Tad Brown level, the folks that run the business side. So for those of you that were big fans of Les Alexander, and that should have been pretty much all of you, then I think the intimate knowledge that Tillman has of Les, of these Rockets, how Les ran them, and just how much, how important that has been to the success of the Rockets over the last 25 years, then I do think that is a slight positive compared to someone who might have just been looking to buy an NBA team but might not have had the level of familiarity with this particular organization and Les Alexander. And again, it's not just the fact that, well, we're assuming he must like what Les has done. No, he's on the record as publicly praising Les for being a great owner over the course of his 25 years. So all in all, because of that, I do think that's a slight positive to have someone who does have a history with not just the Rockets, but Les Alexander in particular. Now, that's kind of the Houston angle of this. The personal angle of this is also interesting because Tillman, I don't want to say that I downplayed his involvement. Certainly, you know, you have a guy who hosts a show called Billion Dollar Buyer, then, yeah, of course he's going to want to be involved. But there are a lot of, when you have a team on the market, there are oftentimes a lot of local officials, I'll use Mattress Mack for an example, who, do they have some level of interest? Yeah, but they probably don't have the cash flow or desire to truly do what it takes. In this case, a record $2.2 billion sales price for the Rockets. And so you ask a lot of the local guys, because everyone loves, you know, a local buyer. You know, it's kind of a cool story here in the Houston community. So those stories get played up during the sale process, but most of those don't actually get to the finish line. So the reason I was a little skeptical about Tillman in particular is his net worth is estimated, according to various publications, at either $3.1 or $3.2 billion. Well, folks, this is about two-thirds of his overall net value. So he is truly all in. There are some billionaires that have much deeper pockets to where they could buy it for $2.2 billion and not have it be an overwhelming percentage of their overall worth. In the case of Tillman, that's not really the case. He is truly going all in on this. He is the Houston Rockets. They are him. And I think that's generally a pretty good development if you're a Rockets fan, because it shows you that a lot of this is based on his passion, that he truly wants to do this for Houston because he cares about the Rockets. And I think that's can be often be a determining variable in terms of, are they going to pay the luxury tax? Are they going to go the extra mile for building the roster? And so that, to me, speaks well to his intent. I thought that if Tillman were to get involved heavily in terms of getting close to the finish line for the Rockets, I thought it might be as part of an investment group where he was part of, you know, maybe he wouldn't be just a token owner. I thought maybe he'd be a 25, 50% owner, but I didn't know if he would go all out to truly be the guy the same way that Les was, given the sales price and given how high it is. And I'm certainly not meaning to sneeze at $3.2 billion. Tillman's a very, very successful businessman. But $2.2 billion, what the Rockets are going for, that is an enormous price. That is a record price. And generally, sports teams don't go for that high of a portion. As I said, it's really two-thirds of his net worth. So for him to do that, I think it speaks to just how much he cares, just how much passion he has. And generally, from an ownership standpoint and fan expectations, I think that's what you want. Because an owner isn't going to be heavily involved in terms of the product on the floor, or at least a good owner shouldn't be. You should leave that to the coaches, the players, et cetera, et cetera. What you want is an owner that has the same competitive drive that you do. Because everything from the owner letting the qualified players and coaches do their job to supporting them as well as he can by proactively investing in the luxury tax, whatever it may be. I think all of those things a lot of times trace back to passion. Are you just looking at this as a cold dollars and cents standpoint, or are you looking at this as an organization that you truly care about, that you want the most for? And Tillman's history with the Rockets, but more than that, the enormous sales price, especially in comparison to his net worth, that tells you that it's not just a cold business decision for Tillman. This is something he truly wants. And from an ownership perspective, I do think that's very important. Another interesting part of this at first glance for me is the timing. Because when the Rockets first went on the market, I believe it was July 17th, Tad Brown said in a couple of radio interviews that he viewed the minimum as probably about 3 months, and he said it could take into the season, meaning 6-9 months. We've seen some of these sales drag on for a very, very long time. So for this to get done in literally less than 2 months, and by the way, the last 10 days have just been a total cluster here in Houston because of everything going on with Hurricane Harvey, I think that shows you just how much Tillman wanted this deal to get done, because there was no shortage of interest. There are very few NBA teams, no other NBA teams right now on the market, and there's not been any sports franchise in a long time on the market that is this ready to win now the way the Rockets are, with, you know, a stable front office, Daryl Morey and Tad Brown, but from a players and coaches standpoint, James Harden, Chris Paul, reigning coach of the year, Mike D'Antoni, all under contract, well, except for Chris Paul, for a very long time. So there's never been a property like this, which means there's no shortage of interest. So to get it done that quickly, to get it done actually before the season, which is nice to get it done before the season, because it means it's not going to be a distraction hovering over the team. They'll know who the owner is and probably all meet him by training camp, of course. There are certain limitations because the NBA Board of Governors has to approve it, but I don't think that would take that long in this case. Tobin seems to be a very successful and well-liked businessman. But the timing of it, to wrap this up within 6 weeks, that is staggeringly quick from, you know, a timing perspective, the way these deals typically go. So I think it speaks to a couple of things. First, it shows Tillman's desire to get this done. And as I said, I think that ties into his passion. Because, yeah, if you drag this out for a few months, maybe you can knock that $2.2 billion down to $2.1. But I think getting the deal done now is in the best interest of the Rockets. And I think that correlates back to the passion that Tillman Fertitta has for this organization. The other thing is that it shows you that Les Alexander is comfortable in Tillman Fertitta. Trust me when I say that to Les Alexander, the Rockets are his baby. They are his most prized possession. So yes, he wants to get out. I know he has other things he wants to focus on, but he truly cares about this franchise. He is an enormous part of where they are today. So one of the reasons I wasn't that worried about the Rockets getting a bad buyer is because I trust Les enough that he would not sell to a bad buyer. So for Les to sell it this quick to a guy he has intimate knowledge of, again, one of the positives of this, it's not like Tillman just pulled the wool over Les Alexander's eyes. It's not like this is some businessman that Les really doesn't know and just said the right things in the interviewing process. No, Les knows him very well. So for Les, having that knowledge of him to sell to Tillman that quickly, that speaks to the comfort that Les has with Tillman and also the comfort that he has in Tillman to steward the Rockets in a way that Les finds acceptable. So if you like the way Les Alexander has run the Rockets, then I think selling to a guy that he knows and selling this quickly within 6 weeks of the initial announcement, then I think that generally speaks well to the degree of comfort that Les has with Tillman as the new owner of the Rockets. Now, as far as Tillman's past perspective, I've been trying to look at this to start just from immediate implications, price, timing, Houston, all that kind of stuff. Until we get that Q&A, until we get the press conference, as I said, I'm going to try and get Tillman on here. Until we get formal answers from him, and he's not allowed to give those answers until the sale is complete due to the NBA Board of Governors process, until we formally get those answers, we're all speculating. However, there are some things in his past that encouraged me a lot from a sports perspective. And I guess the reason I want to focus on that is because to me, sports is very different than most other businesses. Now, yes, Tillman, you know, he runs Landry's, Golden Nugget, et cetera, et cetera. But I think what speaks the closest to the job he may do with the Rockets is what he's done as chairman of the board over at U of H, where he's an alum. And the reason I say that, a school like the University of Houston, it's a public school, so technically there's no owner. But the chairman of the board is the closest thing, especially for an athletic program, because essentially they run everything. They choose how and what, essentially, to delegate their money. That's what an owner does at the NBA level. It's not like the owner, with a very few exceptions, are that involved in targeting certain players or coaches or whatever. No, generally what the owner does is a very high-level distribution of resources. And from the standpoint of college athletics, that's what he's been doing at the University of Houston for many years now. And the reason I'm encouraged by that, it's not that it's Houston, although that's certainly nice to have someone local. What encourages me most is that honestly, around the entire country, I don't think there is any athletic program that has had more success in the past decade than Houston. I don't think there's any program that has come further. I think that's what I'm trying to say. I don't want to say that Houston's had the most success, because certainly they're not Alabama. They haven't won multiple football national titles. What I mean by saying they have the most success, they have the most relative success. Compared to the resources, compared to where they were, I don't think anyone has come further in the last decade than the University of Houston. And the biggest reason for that is because of extremely high-level decisions. The football side, they hired Art Briles, Tom Herman, Kevin Sublin. These were all A-plus hires. Tom Herman was the offensive coordinator at Ohio State, arguably the best program, one of the top five in the country, had no shortage of offers. He settled on Houston. That was even before the new stadium was completely ready. And the basketball side, I think that's even more amazing. basketball. They lured Kelvin Sampson when Sampson was an assistant with the Rockets, a very highly regarded assistant. Kelvin, at the time, when he went to U of H in April of 2014, he was on the shortlist for NBA head coaching jobs. He had interviewed with a number of NBA vacancies. And he was also a very successful college coach. If he wanted to get back in the college game, he had opportunities. He had success at Oklahoma and Indiana, two blue bloods. And the only reason that he left was because of a very odd rule that doesn't even exist anymore. There were certain texting limitations for recruits at the NCAA level at the time. But Kelvin, a very successful coach, so to lure him away from not just other colleges, but NBA teams, to lure him away from the Rockets, because those of you that are diehard Rockets fans, as you probably remember, he left in early April of 2014, right before the playoffs. That was Dwight Howard's first year when the Rockets ended up losing to the Blazers in the first round of the playoffs, and I do think there was a little bit of defensive slippage after he left. Kelvin was their defensive guru. So with all those things, to get him to turn down other NBA, other college possibilities, to get him to leave the Rockets early, all for the University of Houston, who playing in Hof-Heinz Pavilion, an arena that basically hadn't been touched in 30 years. I don't know if you guys remember, a few years back when U of H kind of had a flukish run, I think this was 09, 2010, to the NCAA tournament one year in basketball. It was one of those where the team just got hot on 4 days in March and inexplicably made it. Tom Penders was the coach at the time, and the New York Times did a feature on Tom Penders, and he made the comment that his son, who was a high school coach in the Houston area, I believe Clear Creek, had better facilities than he did at U of H. That's across the board what Houston had this time a decade ago at U of H. Of course, basketball, you know it most because, well, we're all basketball fans, and I think everyone knows that Houston, under Hakeem and Clyde in the 80s, got to the national title game a couple of times. But basketball was the most startling, I would say, from a facility standpoint. But football and baseball weren't much better. And since then, they've got a new football stadium, looks brilliant. They've made plans for all. They've got a new facility in basketball. They're also significantly upgrading Hof-Heinz. Baseball, they've had some upgrades there to where they're now under Todd Whitting, a perennially top 25 program. And yes, you know, you give some credit to the coaches involved and, of course, the athletic directors. But a lot of it comes from the highest level, which is what Tillman Fertitta is responsible for. Because in almost all of those cases, there is one common theme, and it's investing proactively. The football team, and the basketball for that matter, a lot of the money to go to those projects came directly from Tillman Fertitta, because they knew that to get and continue getting the caliber of coaches like Kevin Sumlin, like Tom Herman, you need to have the facilities. That's what sells the program. Basketball, to lure someone like Kelvin Sampson, a big part of that package was being able to put down this amount of money and saying, hey, we are going to upgrade these facilities to X amount. Make no mistake, Kelvin did not come to U of H just out of the goodness of his heart. I know he likes Houston, but he had to know that he would have a chance to be competitive and land some truly national recruits. And that's what they've done in terms of upgrading those facilities. And that has a direct correlation to the Rockets and the NBA, because the toughest decisions for an owner at the NBA level typically have to do with taking a short-term loss. And I'll point out the Rockets this season. Right now, even without Carmelo Anthony, they're set to pay the luxury tax. And after this season, to keep it together, which certainly is the plan, the luxury tax bills could be staggering, especially when you factor in the raise coming for Clint Capella, likely for Chris Paul, and then James Harden's new deal, which will escalate his annual salary by about $10 million per year starting in 2019. It's going to be very expensive to keep this Rockets team together. But the argument for it is that the team will be good enough that when you win games, it will pay for itself. And if you look at an investment strictly from a business perspective, sometimes it can be very hard for, you know, your traditional business-minded CEO to make that distinction. They will want to see the results before they invest. And in sports, it doesn't work that way. That's where sports is different than most other businesses, is because it's so correlated with winning. It's so correlated with that competitive thirst that you have to be willing to invest proactively and many times to get the results you want. And when you look at Tillman's time at the University of Houston, I think that's what he's done. Chairman of the Board of Regents. There's no such thing as an owner of Houston, but the chairman of the board is about as close as it gets, because that's who's deciding how to distribute the money. And the success that U of H has had, it has generally been because of those high-level decisions. They have continually outkicked their coverage in terms of the level of coaches they have gotten to sign on for those programs. Art Briles, Kevin Sumlin, Tom Herman, Kelvin Sampson, Todd Whitting in baseball. These are all far superior names to what the University of Houston should probably be able to get, not having membership in a major conference, not having major money. But in many cases, it's because of that willingness to proactively invest. That's how they continually outkick their coverage and get guys that they theoretically should not be able to get. And then within the past year, of course, I know a lot of this is on the football side, but again, we're trying to make as close of a correlation for Tillman's style as we can. We know that Tom Herman, he ultimately went to Texas, and I think a big part of that was wanting to be in a major conference like the Big 12. But Tillman was on the record as saying last year that Herman would not leave Houston over salary. And throughout Herman's time there, they continually upgraded his salary, gave him new packages, and he still left. I understand that because ultimately Houston and the conference they're in versus Texas, it's kind of like a AAA team in baseball to a major league team. No matter what you offer, at the same time, if you're a competitor, you want to coach at the highest level, and that's what Tom Herman wanted to do. But Tom Herman, despite all this, despite having interest from Texas, from A&M, from LSU, he did not leave Houston over money. That's how much Houston was able and willing to spend, even not having major conference revenues, because, of course, Tillman saw a healthy football program as that important in the grand scheme to the success of the university. And so I think that's a theme that we've seen over and over again from Tillman in his years kind of guiding the University of Houston, is that he gets that you sometimes have to put up money up front to get the results you want. He gets the long game. He gets the big picture. And that's where a lot of owners get bogged down, especially in sports. They want to see the money before they are willing to put up. And that does not fit with how Tillman Fertitta has managed his time at the University of Houston. And beyond just being willing to pay money, I think Tillman has a good reputation for generally staying out of the way. Now, yes, he'll be at the forefront when his influence can be used. Certainly, U of H tried to make a run at the Big 12 themselves when the Big 12 was considering expansion this time a year ago. And at that point, having a wealthy businessman being in your corner and vocal and going to those meetings, yeah, that's important. But another part of it is being willing to stay back and letting the players and particularly the coaches do their jobs. That's how you lure these types of guys over other opportunities. And the flip side of it, you guys know I'm a big University of Missouri fan. I'm an alum. I love Mizzou. And fortunately, they're finally now under Conzo Martin on the right track on basketball. They've lured Michael Porter Jr., who will be the top pick in the NBA draft next year in all likelihood, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Mizzou for 10 years has underachieved wildly, and a lot of it is because they continually had very underwhelming coaching hires. And a big reason for that, the former athletic director at Mizzou was essentially known as a meddler. The guy's name was Mike Alden, and a lot of coaches just did not like how he ran the basketball program. That from a day-to-day standpoint, he was far too involved for what an athletic director or any executive involved in the proceedings should be. For Tillman in Houston, yeah, he's been a leading face for U of H when they need it. He's been a part of the interviewing processes for the head coaches. He weighs in when they can use him, such as on the move to the Big 12. But when it comes to the day-to-day operations of those programs, he takes a step back. And that is so important because given the lack of a major conference, given the lack of top-notch facilities, even with the new stadium, it's certainly not Kyle Field, for one example. Even with those limitations, they're still getting these elite coaches there. And a big part of it is that despite some of the limitations that are out there, they trust the power structure at U of H as an ideal place to win because they will let them do their jobs. They're not going to interfere. So that's what I like about Tillman. Again, I know he's not technically the owner of the U of H athletic program because there's no such thing. However, as chairman of the board, he's the closest thing to an owner there is. And if you look over his history at the University of Houston over the past 10 years, it's largely been very positive. As I said, I don't think any institution has had more proportional success in the last decade than U of H, and Tillman's guidance has been a big part of why they've been able to do that. So that's what I do think translates very well, is that he genuinely cares. He's a guy who's very passionate about the Houston community. He's very passionate about winning, But the better parts, he's not just a traditional businessman. He gets the competitive part. He's willing to invest proactively, even if the dollars and cents don't initially make sense. Some of the figures that were thrown out for Tom Herman, what he was making, and of course they were saying they'd match him up to $5 million or so per year. That makes no financial sense for the University of Houston and the revenues that they're bringing in as part of the American Athletic Conference or whatever. Yet, that's what Tillman's willing to do because long-term, he believed that the success of a stable and healthy U of H football program would have long-term dividends that made it worthwhile for the mission of the program, which is to win games, and also the school, which is, of course, to bring more notoriety to it. So that's why I'm excited about Tillman Fertitta, because what I know of him from U of H, he's a guy who gets it. And so if you have to pay the luxury tax in the short term because you're keeping a contender together and a team that can win it all, based on Tillman's history, I think he's a guy that's willing to do that. So those are my initial thoughts on Tillman. Again, we'll learn a lot more about his philosophy when we can actually talk to him when there's a press conference, and I don't know when that's going to be because there does have to be an official approval process from the NBA's Board of Governors, and until then, he's not really allowed to speak other than just a quick statement in a press release, which the Rockets sent out this morning. But based on what I know of Tillman to this point, I'm excited about it. Again, I'm not a big-time U of H guy, so there might be others that know him a little bit better. But from a high-level perspective, I don't think any athletic program in the country has, you know, outkicked their coverage to the extent that U of H has. And that's all happened under Tillman's guidance. So I think he has a history in sports. I think he gets sports. I think he has a passion for the Rockets and the Houston community. And the best part, because he's had a long relationship with the Rockets and Les Alexander, I think they know him very well. And I don't think they would be willing to sell to him, especially this quickly, unless they had a high degree of comfort that he would take the organization in the direction that they wanted to go. So, with all that said, I will wrap things up right here. Again, this is Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Follow me on Twitter, at Ben Dubose. Follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Rockets. Also, email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program for you, the Rockets fan. And of course, in the days ahead, we'll be talking a lot more about this sale as far as when a press conference will be and when Tillman can talk it furtherly. I'm not sure. I will try to get you those answers. There's going to be a lot of reaction throughout the day, throughout the NBA community over the next 24 to 48 hours. And of course, we may have a lot to talk about there as well. But for now, these are my initial thoughts. Wanted to put those out there. Hope you guys enjoyed. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. And I will be back with you again very soon talking about your new look, Houston Rockets, headed up by new owner-to-be Tillman Fertitta.